from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin with the car fire that's burning in Shasta County. Officials from PG&E say a 21-year-old apprentice lineman, Jay Aita, died on Saturday. Aita was working to restore power to communities affected by the blaze. PG&E spokeswoman Melissa Sabatin says he was killed in a vehicle-related accident in an area with dangerous terrain.
Crews were working to restore power, specifically electricity, in remote and rural terrain that had been damaged by the wildfires.
Six other people have been killed due to the car fire, including two firefighters and four residents of the area. As of this morning, the blaze has scorched more than 160,000 acres and was 43% contained. We're going to look now at the effect of wildfire in the Central Valley. On Saturday, National Park Service workers, U.S. Forest Service employees, and firefighters from around the country gathered in Fresno's Convention Center for the funeral of 33-year-old firefighter Brian Hughes. He was killed in the Ferguson fire that has burned more than 90,000 acres and has closed Yosemite National Park. KQED's Alex Hall was there.
Hughes was captain of the Arrowhead Hotshots, an elite interagency firefighting crew based in Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks.
Brian has given us all many memories.
At the memorial service, projected photos of a smiling Hughes and flower arrangements framed the stage. Hughes' co-workers, friends, and family remembered him as funny, hardworking, and selfless. Tulare County firefighter Jared Arcenega previously worked with Hughes.
His work ethic was second to none, and he was everything and everything that you would want in a crew member and a supervisor. He's passionate about his job, and he was a dear friend.
Hughes died on July 29th when he was struck by a falling tree on the fire line. As the service ended, one last radio call went out over the PA system.
Ash Mountain Fire acknowledges fallen firefighter Brian Hughes is out of service. Godspeed and rest in peace.
Hughes' parents will take their son's body back to Hawaii, where he grew up, and where there will be another service. His fiance is expecting their first child in February. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
We're going to go now to Orange County, where back in January, as you might remember, a gay teenager, Blaze Bernstein, was stabbed to death. His former high school classmate, Samuel Woodward, was arrested and stands accused of his murder. Woodward has pled not guilty. Now the Orange County District Attorney has alleged in court that this murder is a hate crime. Here's KPCC's Bradley Bermont.
When the news broke in January, there was speculation that 19-year-old Bernstein was killed because he was gay. But prosecutors didn't have any evidence to support that. Now, after finding troubling images on Woodward's cell phone and laptop, prosecutors say they have enough evidence to back that charge.
We will prove that Woodward killed Blaze because Blaze is gay.
That's Orange County District Attorney Tony Rakakis.
These images are graphic and chilling, can be described as spewing hate towards almost every protected group.
He said the images were racist, anti-Semitic, and homophobic. But they can't actually charge Woodward with a hate crime because the current law doesn't protect sexual orientation. Instead, it's a hate crime enhancement added to the existing murder charge. To charge Woodward with a hate crime, prosecutors need evidence that he was involved with hate groups. If they find that, he could face the death penalty. For the California Report, I'm Bradley Bermont in Orange County.
It's been almost 3 months since U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the zero-tolerance immigration policy.
So, if you cross the border unlawfully, even a first offense, then we're going to prosecute you. Those cases are up about double last year, and we're going to go higher this year. It's an offense to enter the country unlawfully. If you're smuggling a child, then we're going to prosecute you. And that child will be separated from you, probably, as required by law.
Of course, Sessions went on to apply that child smuggling to actual families, and a federal judge in San Diego has said family separations are not legal. In fact, the judges called it unconstitutional. We're going to be looking very closely at what zero tolerance has actually meant for California and the people who live here. And we're going to start with a voice we haven't heard much from the past few months. that of law enforcement. Rodney Scott has been a Border Patrol agent for 26 years. He's now chief of the San Diego sector, and we asked Rodney Scott what it's like to separate families who are entering the country illegally.
I've caught families with children, but I've also watched the smugglers abuse these people. They're taking advantage of them. They're lying to them. I had families abandon their children on trails right here, about a quarter of a mile from where we're standing right now. Early in my career, I had a mom abandon her four-ish year old, because he couldn't tell us how old he was, a child. I could see her, and she wouldn't come back to me. She was in the river. She ends up disappearing. I ended up having to turn him over to Child Protection Services, and I followed up. I was a young agent. I'd never seen anything like that. I followed up with San Diego PD and Child Protection Services here, and I don't think that kid was ever reunited with his family. That pulls on your heartstrings, but you're going to find a case by case, no matter where you're at. Somebody commits a crime, a real serious crime in the United States, and then their children are separated. You feel for those children, but there have to be consequences for crimes. You have to have some kind of semblance of law and order, or your entire system will crumble. So trying to balance that, it is hard sometimes, but I remind myself, if we do this right, we can make the whole world, let alone this country, a little bit better. If you just keep letting it vent and not holding people and other countries accountable, not trying to improve those other systems, there's no end.
We're going to hear more from Chief Scott later this week. We're also going to hear from a mother still separated from her three-year-old daughter. This mother entered the country legally. You're going to want to hear that story. Yesterday, President Trump finally acknowledged the deadly California fire season, on where else but on Twitter. The president tweeted that bad environmental laws are to blame, namely that precious water resources are being diverted to the Pacific Ocean, and added that the state needs to cut down trees. In fact, let me read the tweet. Quote, California wildfires are being magnified and made so much worse by the bad environmental laws, which aren't allowing massive amount of readily available water to be properly utilized. It is being diverted into the Pacific Ocean. Must also tree clear to stop fire spreading, exclamation mark. But Dr. Daniel Swain, a climate scientist at UCLA, says that is not why the state has seen such devastating fires in recent years.
The climate in the West and elsewhere has been getting warmer, and that is leading to drier vegetation, drier forests, drier brush. And that is acting to change the behavior of these fires, making them burn more intensely, hotter, and move faster.
And as we speak about the ongoing change of our climate, we got news of a new heat record in California. In Imperial County last week, which borders Mexico and Arizona, rain fell that was 118 degrees. It fell down from the sky. In fact, it was so hot that people reported having a hard time breathing during this rain shower. We're going to move now to an obituary. Charlotte Ray liked character acting, and in the 1970s and 80s, she hit pay dirt. Charlotte Ray played the part of Edna Garrett in two groundbreaking shows, Different Strokes and The Facts of Life, both primetime hits that also repeated in the afternoons on NBC. Now, those daytime reruns were aimed at the first generation of latchkey kids, making the character of Ms. Garrett a matriarchal stand-in for many Gen Xers. And Ms. Garrett always handled the challenge gracefully, like in this scene, where she asks a popular girl to room with a new student on The Facts of Life.
Joe was doing really great in public school till her dad left home a couple of years ago. That's when her problems began. Her mother had to work double shifts, and Joe met a boy who got her into trouble. Not that kind of trouble. Truancy, staying out till all hours, cutting class.
Great, and I get to be her keeper.
Her friend Blair. You know, I've always felt that when someone's got their act together, they ought to help someone who doesn't.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I can live.
Oh, come on, Blair. She can learn so much from you. You're so, so warm-hearted, compassionate, sensitive. Oh, let's face it, Blair. You're just about perfect in every way.
What can I say? When you're right, you're right.
Charlotte Ray showing you can get more flies with honey. A long time Angelino. She died this weekend. She was 92 years old.
Support for the California Report comes from Carnegie Mellon University's Master of Science in Software Management. Students learn product management at CMU's Silicon Valley campus with part-time evening classes. CMU.edu/III. Personal Capital, providing customers a real-time dashboard view into all of their financial accounts with insight-driven wealth advisory services. PersonalCapital.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
All right, imagine that you've been charged with murder, but you did not kill anyone. And you might not even have been near the murder, but still, prosecutors are asking for a sentence of life without the possibility of parole. Now, this might sound unbelievable, but under a state law known as the felony murder rule, prosecutors can charge someone with first-degree murder if they're an accomplice to another crime, say, robbery that results in murder. But California lawmakers could join a handful of other states and soon change that. Here's Marisa Lagos.
Jacque Wilson has worked in the San Francisco Public Defender's Office for 15 years. He's tried dozens of cases, murders, robberies, you name it. But nothing prepared him for this.
August 5th, 2009.
Since then, he's had a second job of sorts, defending his younger brother in court.
You know, I always remember that day because I was at work. And I got a call from my other brother, who was in a car with Nico when he got arrested, said, you know, Nico's been arrested for murder. And I was like, who did he kill? He's like, I don't think he's killed anyone, but he's been arrested for murder.
Nico Wilson was one of six people charged in the murders of a Fresno couple killed during a marijuana robbery. Jacque Wilson says his brother wasn't even at the robbery and had no involvement in the killing. But prosecutors say he helped plan the crime. Nico Wilson was initially facing the death penalty. Prosecutors are now seeking life without the possibility of parole. In the 9 years he's been fighting the murder charges, Jacque Wilson says Nico has missed out on a lot.
I remember when my father turned 75 and Nico, my brother, wasn't there. I remember all the holidays that he's not there.
When he's not at the public defender's office, Jacque Wilson lives and breathes a case, which could finally go to trial next year. But he's also received new hope by way of a bill currently making its way through the state legislature. Democratic State Senator Nancy Skinner authored the legislation, Senate Bill 1437.
I think, like most Californians, it never occurred to me that you could get a life without parole sentence for having, in effect, nothing to do with the murder.
Skinner says the law isn't just unfair. It's unevenly applied to men of color and often to women in California. She says of the approximately 170 women serving life sentences in the state,
80% of them did not commit murder.
Skinner's bill would narrow California law so that only someone who had direct involvement in a murder or planning of a murder could be charged with murder. It would be retroactive and allow an estimated 800 current inmates to challenge their murder convictions. The bill's opposed by many law enforcement groups, including the powerful California District Attorneys Association. But Sacramento District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert says she agrees.
That it's a very harsh rule.
Schubert and other prosecutors want to see some changes to the bill. She doesn't think it should apply to people who took plea bargains in the past and wants to see some way to make sure people who participate in robberies that turn deadly do face more serious consequences. But
I think there's been a recognition, you know, me in particular, is that should they all be treated the same? I don't necessarily agree with all of Senator Skinner's bill, but I do agree that there's area for reform.
The bill has already passed the Senate and must clear the Assembly by the end of August. If it passes, Jacque Wilson hopes that the murder charges against his brother will be dropped. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
And that's the California Report. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.